the storm clouds have been gathering on the horizon for a while. As guidance dean at a local middle school, Kelly Wickham-Hurst frequently took to social media to share stories of Black students being treated unfairly and her efforts to advocate on their behalf. Sprinkled among those stories were hints that colleagues resented her, like the time a teacher inadvertently flashed a text message over the classroom projector and students saw Hurst referenced by a derogatory term. So it was not exactly a surprise when she decided to leave the district.
So you've been with 186 in a variety of positions, some at high school, some at middle school, English teacher, literacy coach,
guidance dean, and assistant principal.
You should also identify yourself by your social media.
Oh, I'm everywhere known as Mocha Mama on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram.
M-O-C-H-A.
Well, sort of a nod to the color of my skin.
Which is a mocha colored.
My dad's Black and my mom's white.
All right. You've told me that you feel like you were an affirmative action hire way back. How long ago were you first hired?
23 years ago.
What made you think that?
The first summer before my teaching, so 1993, I was going to meet the department chair. There was a couple people milling around in the lobby area, and she walked by me several times. And finally, I walked up to her and introduced myself, and it shocked her, which I didn't know until many months later. Meant that what she was told was, I got you a new Black English teacher. And she was probably looking for someone darker than I am. So I was directly told that I was an affirmative action hire.
I should say you also have beautiful green eyes.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, so that started your tenure off here. You're the new Black English teacher, and you've kind of been looking out for Black students ever since. Is that how you would...
Yeah, I would characterize it just like that, yes.
But ultimately, over this past summer, you made the decision to leave 186.
Correct. I was asked to move schools, and it felt like a setup. And I felt like I was not given any opportunity to ever talk about my side of the story. I didn't know there was a story until I was asked to please move to another school. I really had no choice but to attribute that to issues of race, because that's what I continue to bring up and that's what I continue to push back on in terms of my own personnel issues and also for students of color.
You felt like you had no choice but to leave.
Correct.
How common do you think that feeling is among your Black colleagues?
Oh, extremely. There's a lot of Black colleagues that I got really close to that I may not have gotten close to other than the fact that we felt like we needed some sort of solidarity and some sort of community together, because we just sometimes kind of walk out of the school day going, I cannot believe that just happened, or I cannot believe what I continue to witness, or I cannot believe that I bring issues up and they're summarily dismissed.
But most of them are not nearly as vocal about it as you are.
No, I don't have a filter on my mouth.
Well, you also have something that most of your colleagues don't have, which is a huge social media presence under Mocha Mama. For example, how many Twitter followers do you have?
11,000.
11,000. Okay. And you've been blogging for...
11 years.
Do you have followers on your blog? How do you
You have subscribers. You can have subscribers. You know, blogs really go by how often people visit. You know, the last I looked is about, 25,000 impressions a month.
So you've got a voice that is amplified beyond 186.
Correct.
And you've used it to tell stories of what goes on in 186 without really identifying 186.
Yeah, I mean, I tried to walk a fine line, and it was never my intention or goal to tattle on just 186. It was my intention to say, this is what it looks like inside American public education. And what I am reporting on is not unique. It is everywhere I've gone. It is the people that I've connected with via my blog or via some social media who say, everything that you say is what happens here too. We don't know what to do about it.
Okay. I'm going to come back to that in a second. But being Mocha Mama has also gotten you some, you've been a speaker at different...
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's gotten me speaking engagements. It's gotten me to be invited to different conferences just to talk about being an entrepreneur, which is really what being a, on the side writer was for me.
It's gotten you a little celebrity status.
Yeah. Oh, that word.
So Do you think that maybe some of your problem has just been that people are jealous?
I did not originally consider that. It took me a long time to get to that conclusion, and I had to be told by a lot of people, because it's not smart to be jealous of someone who is just trying to make your institution better. So once I finally understood that, I went, yeah, that's what it is. And I'll be honest, I think that a lot of what's happened, I would say in the last decade, is that they were very careful about wanting to reprimand me publicly or wanting to take me on because of that platform.
Do you want to give an example or two of things that you saw happen? And I will tell you that I will run it past them to get their side of it as well.
At the district?
Mm-hmm. At Springfield Schools.
Yeah, I think what solidified it for me was watching a whole lot of things unfold that are unfair all the time. I mean, this was nothing new.
So it was not one explosive incident.
Oh,
it was
goodness,
an accumulation of, I think academic people would say, microaggressions.
Right. Once I became an administrator, what became very difficult is being the person that had to discipline the students when I knew that some implicit bias brought that kid into my office. So trying to have those conversations with people, and they didn't want to admit any of it. It's not a fun place to be. We don't want to talk about race in this country. An incident that happened in the spring where we had a white student who brought drugs to school and was given all kinds of supports, a social worker, psychologist. He had to see me so that he could get his grades up and I could help him with homework. And the following week, another student who was Black was absent from school, and the principal called the police and asked the police officer in the building to talk to him, which is not protocol. It's absurd. And I tried to make that point with her to say, calling police on a Black child sometimes has them end up dead. It was that serious for me.
If I recall your account of that incident on social media, the Black student's mother approved.
Correct. When I found out that our school resource officer was asked to speak to this child, I was a little incredulous and pushed back on that. And when I did, my boss said to me, but I'm going to ask another one, the young Black guy, who's also a police officer, to come talk to him. And then I was just flabbergasted that she felt that it was necessary to call two police officers on a child for truancy. But we had a known drug dealer in our school building that she didn't ask the police to speak to. And she said, I asked his mother and she said it was okay. I went and contacted the mother. Not because I didn't believe her. I believe she said that it was okay. I believe it was sold to her in such a way that we were going to do her child a favor by bringing police into a situation where police had no business being.
Was the mother aware that there were these other options? For example, the services that were provided to the white student who brought drugs?
No, she was not aware. She said, I thought that you, as a school, had my best interest at heart. And I assured her that that was not the way we should have handled it.
Let's go into what you're doing now.
Okay.
So you've started, should I say, a business?
I also call it an initiative. You know, this is an initiative that I would like to be able to affect policy with.
And it's called Being Black at School.
Correct.
You refer to systemic racism in the schools. Why don't you give me the building blocks of that? It's disparate discipline, disparate access to advanced classes. It's what else?
We don't reward students of color as easily as we do white students. We don't nominate them for things. We don't give them recognition. We don't give them awards or rewards. The white students are more represented in the advanced placement and dual credit courses. That's in high school. But if we're going to go ahead and walk it all the way back from elementary to middle school, teachers get to make recommendations about where students should be in classes. And yes, there's absolutely some tests and assessments that also tends to deny access.
I want to just clear up one thing. In all the time that I've known you and watched what you've posted on Facebook and whatnot, I don't think that I've ever seen you accuse anyone in this school district of being an intentional racist. I think what I've seen you complain about is more of a don't want to make waves, want to preserve the status quo. So do you think they have a bad heart? Or do you think that's kind of normal? And I'm not saying that that's not a problem.
Right.
That
sure.
Kind of is the problem.
It's the problem. I think what I do is, and I like the way you characterize it, because I think it's exactly what I've done. I indict the system. I don't say this person, and I've rarely named people unless it's been kind of egregious. I also know that whiteness protects itself. It privileges white students. It is always going to protect itself. So it does not like it when you pick those scabs and say, you've got some problems here. And by the way, it's kind of stemmed on race. You know, the black students that I had to discipline that came to my office would almost 100% of the time would say, I absolutely did that behavior. I did that thing that they said that I did. But so did some white kids. And they are sitting in those classrooms and they're getting an education. And I'm in here and I'm going to get another consequence. And then I'm going to fall further and further behind. That's a systemic issue.
So let's talk about being black at school. What are you doing with that?
Well, I'm building it into two things. There's a business side and then there's a nonprofit side. The nonprofit side is going to be the thing that affects policy. The business side is the consultant side.
So your professional career has been mainly in Springfield, and by your own account, it's got some problems.
Yes.
And now you're presenting yourself as a consultant. There are some districts that are ahead of Springfield on this path.
Yeah.
And you haven't worked at those districts. So how do you feel that you can be a consultant? You haven't worked in a district that gets it right.
That's a good question. I feel like personally, this is, I think, a part of my own trauma, working within a system that didn't believe me, didn't trust me, didn't think that I knew what I was doing. I think that I have had personal successes. I hate that they've come about because I have not trusted the system to do it right. And so I have had my own meetings with black students. I've had my own meetings with black parents in order to say, here's how you navigate the system. And those have been on a much smaller scale successful. I wish that they didn't have to be so sneaky. I wish that we could have addressed this as a whole system. But I'm spending a lot of time doing a lot of research and visiting a lot of school districts that are getting it right. And that has helped me tremendously. And it's humbled me because I have looked at the way I've done things in the district and thought I could have done that so much better. Or we could have done that so much better. I don't think I know everything. I absolutely don't. And I think that that's actually my superpower.
I sent school officials an email summarizing her allegations. Their response referenced policies prohibiting comment on either personnel or student incidents and listing several programs the district is using to expand administrators' awareness of racial matters. It concludes with the statement, quote, "While we own the past, the district embraces a forward-looking vision that will strengthen our system." Reporting for the Education Desk, I'm Dusty Rhodes.